This is Good Hope Through Grace, broadcast ministry of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. I'd like to draw your attention tonight again to Romans chapter 9. We've been in this chapter in our study through the book of Romans for several weeks. And what we're going to try to do this evening is finish the chapter. And what we noticed last week in Romans chapter 9, and we entitled the message, by the way, Vessels of Mercy last week. Vessels of Mercy, because this is addressed here in Romans chapter 9 and verse 23. It says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. So we used that as our title last week. Now we're going to continue along this line of thought of vessels of mercy. And we're going to title the message this evening, A Description of Vessels of Mercy, because what he's going to do through the rest of the chapter is describe those whom this text describes as vessels of mercy. So we'll use that for our title, A Description of Vessels of Mercy. Now, like we mentioned last week, whenever we were born again, God brought about our new birth. He bestowed upon us His mercy. And one of the things that we need to thank the Lord for every day of our life is we need to thank God for His mercy. Because if not for His mercy, we would yet be in our sin. If we're not careful, we'll get so preoccupied with other things that we forget the greatness of God's mercy that He bestowed upon us. And one of the things that we should do every day in prayer is thank our God for the mercy that He bestowed upon us in revealing to us our need of a Savior, showing to us that we are sinners, making us alive, and then drawing us to Himself. He deserves all the glory and honor and praise for that, which is why you deal with texts like we're dealing with, which speaks of vessels of mercy. And the main reason you want to deal with these things is so that you'll put the credit and the glory and the honor for your salvation on the Lord. Like I said in the text, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows the mercy. He deserves the glory for it. If it hadn't been for God's mercy, we would yet be in our sins. So we're going to continue along this line of thinking tonight, and we're going to give you a description. He gives you us a description in this text of the vessels of mercy. First of all, let's notice in verse 24, he says, even us. Let me read 23 and 24 together, or at least the latter stages of verse 23 with 24. Vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared in the glory, even us. Now that's the first part of verse 24. So Paul, when he says even us, he recognizes that he was a vessel of mercy. And of course, that's the reason why he uses this term, these two words, even us. So first of all, he's talking about himself. He recognizes that he was a vessel of mercy, and really so do we. Because the scriptures record what he was before he was saved. He was Saul of Tarsus. We spoke of this, I think, last week in the broadcast too. He was Saul of Tarsus. The scripture says in the book of Timothy that he was the chief sinner of his day. And I believe the scriptures are not just saying that just to be saying it. It's saying it because it was true. Saul of Tarsus was the chief sinner of his day. And the top persecutor of the early church was Saul of Tarsus. And as we pointed out, that he was on the road to Damascus to bring God's people bound to Jerusalem. He wanted to have them imprisoned and so on. So what happened on the way is God saved him. God bestowed upon him his mercy. So you can clearly look at Paul as an example of a vessel of mercy, except here he says, even us. He knows he's a vessel of mercy, but also he's writing to the Romans. He's writing to the church located at Rome. He's writing to the saints at Rome, and he says this to them, even us. So they needed to recognize that they were vessels of mercy too. So you put that together, you get the idea of the text. It says, vessels of mercy, which ye afore prepared unto glory, even us. Even us. So it's Paul, and he includes the Romans under that also. So even us, whom he hath called. Now, he says that he mentions the fact that they were called. Now, the reason why they were called, what motivated God to call them was God's mercy. You see, what motivated the call was God's mercy. Mercy motivated the call. And he has mentioned several times being called in the text. The problem is, when we think about being called, we think about a call to special service, like a call to be a preacher, a call to be a missionary, a call to some type of special work. But many times we don't realize that there is a call to salvation. There is an outward call that a preacher makes, or that anybody makes, that's sharing the gospel with someone. And you're calling on people outwardly to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus. But there is also an inward call that goes forth to the vessels of mercy. And in this inward call, the Lord opens the sinner's heart and draws them unto himself and gives them an understanding to know him that is true, and they trust Jesus as their Savior. It is a call to be a saint. Now, notice in the book of Romans chapter 1, Paul mentioned that he was called there in that text. We pointed this out. We won't spend a lot of time on this because we've mentioned these things in the past. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He was separated unto the gospel of God. Now, you have to ask yourself who separated him. Well, it's clearly God is the one that separated him. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, it says this, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So Paul was in the position he was in because the Lord called him. In the book of 2 Timothy 1:9, he was writing to the young preacher. He is one of the young men that was saved under his ministry by the name of Timothy. And in writing to him, he says this, who has saved us? Who hath saved us? Talking about our God, he has saved us. And he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. It means, we've done looked at that too in Romans 9. When we talked about Jacob, when the text talked about Jacob and Esau, Jacob wasn't chosen because of his works, or Jacob wasn't separated because of his good deeds. He wasn't loved because of all the good that God's seen in him. It wasn't by works. It says, not of works, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, is what Paul says. So he's talking about himself, and he's writing to Timothy. He's talking about Timothy, too. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. So Paul had been called. He'd been separated. And this calling, of course, we realize he was called to be an apostle. He was called to be a preacher. But before he did any of that, he was first called to be a saint. And the Lord called him inwardly, opened his heart, and saved his soul. He did indeed do that. Romans 1 and verse 6 mentions the same thing of the Romans. The reason why we want to mention the Romans too is because he draws attention to their salvation as a vessel of mercy here in Romans 9. He mentioned vessels of mercy, then he said, even us. See, he's describing the vessels of mercy. He said, even us. He's talking about himself. He's talking about the Church of Rome. Those there at Rome trusted Christ as their Savior, and no doubt as you study the New Testament, whenever people were saved, then they were baptized, and then they were added to a church, or they started a church wherever that took place. So he's writing to them as being people that were called. And I'm saying that they're called to salvation. Romans 1 says this, talking to the Romans, verse 6, among whom ye are the called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of the Lord, it says called to be a saint. Now, when you're saved, you're a saint. And the idea of the word saint's a holy one. It's what you're made in Christ Jesus. All your sins then is charged to Jesus. All his righteousness is charged to you. You're justified. You have a righteous standing. And you're made a saint while you're living in Christ Jesus. But what I want you to see is it says you're called to be a saint. So Paul had been called, and the Roman saints had been called. Now, why did God call them? That's a good question, isn't it? Why did God call them to be a saint? Why did God call Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus? Why did he do that? Well, the reason is because they were vessels of mercy. I mean, if you put the two texts together, that's what you see. He mentions verse 23, vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared in the glory, even us. See, he identifies himself as a vessel of mercy and also the Roman saints as vessels of mercy. And he goes on to say that he called them, whom he called, he hath called. That's God hath called them. And that calling is extended to the vessels of mercy. And that calling is an inward calling. Now, I've given this to you in the past also, but let me give it to you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 gives us a picture of the outward and inward call. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this. Verse 22, it says, for the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. Being saved by a crucified Savior was a stumbling block to the Jews. They were looking for a more along the line of a Joshua or a David to come in and run all the Romans out of the land. They weren't looking for someone to come in as Jesus did and die on Calvary for their sins and rise again. Jesus, they were looking for a deliverer, but they were looking for a deliverer from Roman bondage. Jesus was a much greater deliverer because he came in to deliver from our greatest enemy. And he came to deliver us from our sin debt, that we would spend an eternity with him. King Jesus, Messiah Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So he said in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that he preached Christ crucified, but to the Jews it was a stumbling block. And to the Greeks it was foolishness. See, that's the outward call. When a man preaches, that's an outward call. Now it goes on to say in verse 24, but unto them that are called. Now this is the inward call. To those that were called outwardly, to many of those that were called outwardly, it was foolishness. That's why it says to the Jews it was a stumbling block, to the Greeks it was foolishness. But unto them which were called or are called, it's talking about the inward call. The call that goes from the Holy Spirit. Some people call it that old Mount Zion calling. Well, they're right. It's an inward call. To the Jews and Greeks that were called, Christ was the power of God and the wisdom of God. Then he goes on to say in verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, yea, the base things of the world. The things which are despised hath God chosen, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, when you understand God's mercy, and you understand the reason why you're saved, and you realize that God is the one that brought it to pass, you don't have no right to brag about anything. Because it's not because you were brighter or smarter or more intelligent than anybody else. It was because of God's mercy that you are what you are. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, I am what I am, but God's grace. Well, it's the same, it's a little different look of the same thing, really. We have no right to brag other than in the one that saved us and called us and brought us unto himself. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of him are we in Christ. The reason why we're in Christ is because of him. And it says in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's why you study Romans 9. Many people overlook Romans 9. The purpose of Romans 9 is to reveal to you that the reason why you're saved is because of God's mercy. And he deserves the glory for it. If it wasn't for his mercy, you'd yet be in your sin and you wouldn't want nothing to do with the Lord. That's why you deal with these subjects. We preach the gospel to every creature. But at the same time, we realize that there will only be certain ones that will respond in repentance and faith into the message that they hear. Why is that? Because of God's mercy. Well, let's read on. Let's go on in our text here in Romans chapter 9. So we're looking at a description of the vessels of mercy. And Paul said, it's us, even us. He describes himself as a vessel of mercy. And he describes the Romans, the Roman Christians, the Roman saints as vessels of mercy. How they got there, it was because they were called to it. It says, even us whom he hath called. The Lord called them to the, with an inward calling of the Holy Spirit. Now he goes on to say, not of the Jews only. Aren't you glad not just of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles? Isn't that a glorious thing? And we should, you should thank the Lord for that. Back under the old covenant, it was primarily the Jew that was saved. But now the Lord is calling Gentiles. He's calling Jews too. And we're going to see that on down in the text also. It's these that are vessels of mercy. These that are called with an inward call of the Holy Spirit and trust Christ as their Savior are made up not just of Jews, but also of Gentiles. Now, folks, we have noticed in the past, the book of Ephesians says, chapter 2, he's made us both one under the new covenant. We're saved by the same Savior, cleansed by the same blood, have the same heavenly home. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. See? So he's describing the vessels of mercy, and he says they're made up of those that are called of the Jews and the Gentiles. Now what he does is he goes down in the text and he gives us the scriptural proof for what he just says. In other words, what he's going to do, he's going to go to the Old Testament scriptures and he's going to show that the Old Testament prophesied of the salvation of the Gentile. And then he's going to show you that the Old Testament scriptures prophesied that there would be a remnant of the Jews that would be saved also. It teaches both of those, and he provides the proof text for that by quoting the Old Testament scriptures in verses 26 and 27, 28 and 29. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at our text. It says, verse 25, and he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people. Now, who's that speaking of? That's talking about the Gentile. If you're listening to me and you're a Gentile by physical birth, you need to praise the Lord right now if you're saved. Because you've had a new birth. And in this new birth, you become the people of God. That wasn't true of the Gentile for the larger part of the old covenant. The Gentile was on the outside looking in. And he said, I will call them my people, which were not my people. And her beloved, which was not beloved. So he goes on to say in verse 26, and it will come to pass in the place where it was said, ye are not my people, there shall ye be called the children of the living God. So these are two scriptures quoted out of the book of Hosea. And he provides them as proof text that God was saving Gentiles. And that the Gentiles would also be vessels of mercy, just as the Jews would have a remnant that are vessels of mercy. So Hosea 2, verse 23, Hosea 1, verse 10 was his proof that God was calling not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. He used the scriptures for his evidence, which is what you must have for what you believe. You need to have scriptural proof for. And that scriptural proof needs to fit the entire context of scripture also. So he provides the evidence, the scriptural evidence for the Gentiles being saved, being vessels of mercy, being called. Being called, listen to what it says again in verse 26. Ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now, folks, that's another reason if you're listening to me and you're a saved Gentile, you ought to praise the Lord. We are called children of the living God. We who were on the outside looking in, we are called children of living God by faith in Christ Jesus. And the reason why we have faith in Christ Jesus is solely because of God's mercy that he bestowed upon us. Vessels of mercy. This is the description he's given of them from verse 24 down really through the end of the chapter, he's describing the vessels of mercy. They are Jews and Gentiles that have been called and that have trusted Jesus and that are now children of the living God because of God's mercy and because of His grace. Isn't that a glorious thing? My friend, if you're listening to me tonight, I want you to know one thing. You're either a child of God or you're not. Either one or the other. And I'm going to tell you the most important thing in life is to be a child of the King. When you're a child of the King, you have a home in the Father's house. Jesus spoke of the Father's house in John chapter 14. David spoke of the Father's house in Psalms chapter 23 when he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One of these days, I'm going to come to the end of my days on this old earth. And I'm going to leave this place and I'm going to go to the Father's house. I'm going to go be with the Lord. And I got people there that I love. And folks, if you don't have that hope, that confident expectation of going to be with Jesus when you die, then each tick of the clock brings you closer to losing everything that you have. I hope you realize that. You need to be a child of the King. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. But Galatians says we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Trusting in Him, trusting that He died for you on Calvary, that's what the gospel is. The power of God unto salvation is the gospel. He said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, as Christ dying for our sin and rising again the third day. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now you let this sink down in your heart. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. To everyone that trusts in it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So salvation comes through by trust in the gospel. That's how you become a child of God with the glorious expectation of one day going to the Father's house, going to be with the Lord, seeing Him, being with your people that knew the Lord also. It's a glorious future that we have ahead of us, folks. And that's all because of the Lord in His mercy, bringing upon us His mercy and showing us our need and making us alive and drawing us unto Himself. Just of the Gentiles? No, it's also of the Jews. Jews and Gentiles. Folks, the Lord's still saving Jews also. In the book of Romans 9, it goes on to say, he quotes Isaiah, verse 27, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Of course, under the new covenant, we brought a message on Israel, and Romans 2 suggested to us that the true circumcision are those that's had a circumcised heart. He is not a Jew which is one inwardly, but he's a Jew which was one outwardly. I hope you remember the message. So Israel is going to be in the sand, as of the sand of the sea, but a remnant shall be saved, a remnant of Jews according to the flesh, that are born Jews according to the flesh. Folks, I love the Jewish people. The Jewish people is the ones through which the Scriptures came to us. Jewish people is the one that you read the New Testament. Paul was a Jew. Peter was a Jew. The apostles were Jews. And the church of Jerusalem was primarily made up of Jews. You know who brought the gospel to the Gentile? It was the Jews. And we need to return the favor and present to them Jesus, Messiah Jesus. And show from the Scriptures how it pointed that the Messiah would die and then the Messiah would rise again. And through Him, you become an heir to an everlasting kingdom. But there would be a remnant of them that is saved, that will be saved. That's why we preach the gospel to them. It says in Romans chapter 11, it also talks about, we'll see this again later. It says in Romans 11, talking about the days of Elijah. Elijah thought he was the only one left. And here's what God told Elijah when he said he was the only one left. Romans 11:4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. When way Elijah looked at it, he thought he was the only saved man left in all of Israel. But God said, it's not so, Elijah. He said, I reserved 7,000 men. Who reserved them? Who reserved them, does it say? God reserved them. God had bestowed on them His mercy. He's always had vessels of mercy. From the beginning, He's always had vessels of mercy. So He had reserved 7,000 men who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And it's, listen, verse 5, Romans 11, 5. Even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it's of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more works. So He says there's still a remnant. God had left Him a remnant. Who are these vessels of mercy? He said in verse 24 of Romans chapter 9 that they were those that were made up of Jews and Gentiles. Those that the Lord had called. Called of the Gentiles. Many of the Gentiles received an inward call. And called of the Jews. God called many of the Jews. Or actually I should say a remnant of the Jews. But these people that are vessels of mercy are made up of both Jews and Gentiles. He says in verse 28, for He will finish the work, cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make on the earth. You know, really, we are in the last days. The book of Revelation 12, talking about the devil, says that he knows that he has but a short time. And since it's going to be a remnant, then that's the reason why it's a short work, because it is just a remnant. Time to get saved, folks, is now. Time to trust Jesus is tonight, if you've never trusted Him as your Savior. It says, for He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And Isaiah said before, except the Lord, as Sabbath, hath left us a seed, and we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. The reason why there's a remnant is because of God's mercy. And He said if it wasn't for God's mercy, then Israel would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah, completely cut off. But God still has a vessels of mercy in Israel, and He still has a vessel of mercy amongst the Gentiles. And we need to thank God for that every day of our life. This message was entitled, who are these vessels of mercy? They are the called, the inward called of the Lord, of the Jews and the Gentiles. Maybe the Lord's calling you tonight. You see your need of salvation. And the Bible says if you'll call upon Him and trust Him as your Savior, He'll give unto you everlasting life and save your soul. May God add His blessings to His word.